Hey everyone, I'm Ryan Kalamea.
And I'm Amy Gosha.
Welcome to The Divorce at Altitude, a podcast on Colorado family law.
Divorce is not easy. It really sucks. Trust me, I know. Besides being an experienced divorce attorney, I'm also a divorce client.
Whether you are someone considering divorce or a fellow family law attorney, listen in for weekly tips and insight into topics related to divorce, co-parenting, and separation in Colorado.
Welcome back to another episode of Divorce at Altitude. This is Ryan Kalamea. As listeners know, we frequently reference Eric Wolf, our hypothetical divorce client. Not as often do we reference Melanie Wolf. Well, this episode in particular is focused on Melanie and her concerns at the end of her story. And you can Google Melanie Wolf and my last name to find out Melanie Wolf's story. But one of her concerns is about Eric having control of the money and her not really knowing what all is going on. And this week, we are going to be talking with a forensic accountant and expert in the area of fraud, investigations, and forensic accounting. So let me tell you about Tracy Conan. She is known as a no-nonsense forensic accountant who delivers the real deal to her clients. And let's face it, when your money is on the line, there is zero time to dance around an issue. So her passion lies in helping people find answers. And one of those answers is to questions like, where did our money go? And as people going through a divorce will frequently find out and come to me and ask me, where did my money go? People like Melanie will have questions, but the answers sometimes can be very expensive. So Tracy has created the Divorce Money Guide, and we're going to talk about her experience, red flags, and the creation of the Divorce Money Guide. And it's really a fancy way for someone to do their own forensic accounting with years of experience kind of coming to the fold. So Tracy, I could go on and on. Why don't you explain, you know, a little bit about your background, where you are located, because listeners are going to hear your Milwaukee accent, and, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I've been a forensic accountant for more than 25 years. I've been working as a solo practitioner with my own firm for more than 22 years. And you're right, I do fraud investigations, and that's, you know, often corporate executives who are stealing, but it's also sometimes in divorce cases where there are questions about where the money went. So I like to tell people that my job is to find money. And you're right, I am in Milwaukee. That's where I live. Most of my clients are in Chicago, but I do cases, quite frankly, around the country. It really doesn't matter where my clients are. So it just depends on who finds me.
And so Tracy, for listeners, I mentioned the Divorce Money Guide. So who did you create the money guide for? So we have kind of an established, you know, playing field.
The Divorce Money Guide is for the person who is going through the process of divorce, who either just doesn't know enough about the money in their family situation or has suspicions about where their money has gone and is unable to hire a forensic accountant. So it's sort of a do-it-yourself with the help of an expert. And so the person that I was thinking about when I created this product, even though it's really for anyone who wants to use it, I was specifically thinking about a stay-at-home mom who's probably age 35 to 45 with a few school-age children who hasn't been actively involved in managing the family's finances because her husband has been in control of it. And she has suspicions about the money, and her husband is probably even having an affair. So we know already, just by the fact that he's having an affair, that there has probably been some money spent inappropriately, some marital money that has been spent on these activities, maybe for dinners out, hotels, gifts, things like that.
And Tracy, you said most of your clients are in Chicago, but you do have a nationwide practice. So if I were to call you, and I think that this is just helpful for people, Melanie Wolf or your stay-at-home mom with three kids in Colorado, to understand. So what, first of all, is a forensic accountant or accounting? And, you know, can you give us an idea of how much that costs? Because I think if listeners hear what that process is like, because it is a term, bandied about and thrown around in the divorce in Colorado. I'm going to get a forensic accounting. And they hear that and they just kind of, clients often use it, but they don't really understand what it entails or more importantly, how much is it going to cost? Because then I think listeners will then understand the divorce money guide and the value that one can get from what you've created.
Think of a forensic accountant as an investigator. So I investigate the numbers. In a divorce case, what I do is I focus very heavily on bank statements, credit card statements, investment account statements, loan statements, and I literally trace the money. So I look at all the transactions and I look at every dollar and where it's going from one account to another or what it's being spent on, ultimately trying to find out if there are improper expenditures or if there's money maybe that's been withdrawn and we don't know what happened to it or transferred to an account that we didn't previously know about, things like that. So what I do is pretty involved. The typical case, it's pretty common that you would have a retainer of $10,000 to get started with a forensic accountant. I like to say my cases are, my normal cases in the divorce space are between $10,000 and $25,000 of fees. I do larger ones as well, but if you wanted the normal, it's about $10,000 to $25,000.
So, you know, just as an example, I had case where a landscaper, he was buying his girlfriend, you know, Victoria's Secrets things and running it through the business. And that lingerie, I remember on the stand, you know, I asked him about the uniforms and the kind of normal equipment that he would purchase for his guys. And, you know, he admitted it was for his, you know, girlfriend, but he was expensing it through the business. So, but it wouldn't make sense to hire someone like you to, you know, do a forensic accounting to find, you know, $100 in lingerie there or this or that. So what are the circumstances? Can you give us some ideas of when it makes sense for, you know, to really go into a forensic accounting? And then what are the kind of the red flags that people would first look at that would be part of the divorce money guide?
So it makes more sense to hire a forensic accountant when there is more money on the line, when you think that there is more significant unusual spending. You know, in some cases, they already have some evidence of improper spending. In other cases, they don't have that evidence. And that's exactly why they need me, is because they have some pretty strong suspicions, though. So I would say, you know, it's a balancing act of how much money is on the line, how much you can reasonably guess might be missing, because you're not only paying for my fees, you're also paying for the attorney's fees then to pursue the issue of getting this money back.
And going to the Divorce Money Guide, I imagine that you would get calls from, you know, people like me, divorce attorneys, or the Melanie Wolfs of the world that would say, I don't know. I just don't trust my husband at this point or my wife, you know, and often it's going to involve, you know, some sort of private business or is kind of the most frequent circumstances. But Tracy, talk to me about why you created it. Is it because you just got so many calls and it just didn't justify the fees?
Well, that's just it. I would get people calling me saying, I have some suspicions, I need some help, but they either couldn't afford my services or they didn't have enough at stake to make it worthwhile. You know, for whatever reason, when I tell them $10,000 to $25,000, of course, they're sticker shocked there and they say, I've already spent so much on my divorce and I can't afford another cost. And I got frustrated because I didn't have an option for them. You know, it's disappointing to me to be able to tell someone, okay, I can't help you. And they say, well, what do I do next? Well, here's a couple articles on the internet that you can go read, but that really doesn't help them. And so I wanted there to be an option. And I knew that clients were also going to their attorneys and their attorneys were saying, well, a forensic accountant could help, but I know you can't afford one. And the buck kind of stopped right there. So I said, I want to create something where people have an opportunity to get more information about their financial situation. If I could walk them through very simply what I do, give them some really simple techniques for looking at their bank statements, things to look for, techniques to do that I like to say anyone can do, even if you're not a numbers person. I thought if I could put something like that together, it would be a way for me to help literally thousands of people who otherwise would have no help available to them. And so that's how the Divorce Money Guide came to be.
And, you know, Tracy, what would you say for someone would say, listen, Melanie, you're just inciting fear by creating something like this, and it's just going to make a divorce even messier. How would you respond to that kind of viewpoint on a product like this?
And the goal is actually the opposite. I don't want to incite fear. What I want to do is help people get peace of mind. So you probably see it, Ryan, in your practice that so many of your clients come to you and have suspicions. And until they can take some steps to satisfy themselves with more information, they're never going to get over those suspicions. And so I tell people who are talking to me about the Divorce Money Guide, you have been married to your spouse for a period of time. You know them very well. You have intuition. I think you should trust your intuition. But let's talk about, do you have specific things that you can articulate that lead you to be suspicious? So someone just says, well, I think he's a jerk. And so probably he's stealing money. If that's all they've got, I'm going to say, hey, probably barking up the wrong tree. But if they say, you know, I've seen some things that really concern me, like our bank account statements used to come in the mail every month to the house, and all of a sudden they stopped coming. And I asked him where they were, and he wouldn't give me a straight answer, right? To me, that's a red flag. Something has changed in your financial situation. And so then trust your intuition about that. When you see more red flags, trust your intuition about that. So it's not supposed to get people all upset. It's supposed to give them the means and the tools to take their intuition and then take some action steps towards finding out the truth.
This episode is brought to you by our law firm, Kalamea Gosha. Amy and I describe our law firm as an innovative and ambitious trial team that pushes the boundaries to discover new frontiers in family law, personal injuries, and criminal defense in Colorado. We currently have offices in Aspen, Glenwood Springs, Edwards, Denver, and Boulder. If you want to find out more, visit our website, kalamea.law. Now, back to the show.
Right. And, you know, we had another guest, a joint valuation expert, Yvonne Zuber, and she talked about her process for valuing a business. And it's a similar process to what you are explaining in your role. But really, one thing that stuck up, I was reminded when you were talking about that, the change in the monthly statements, was that she likes to ask if the business owner who filed, because if the business owner is the one that filed, then that raises the suspicion that they had been planning it, and therefore they might have been kind of playing around with some of the numbers. So it's some of those, you know, red flags that you describe that really help walk someone through whether or not they should, you know, take the next step. So can you talk about maybe some other red flags that people could spot financially in their relationship that, you know, would be part of the Divorce Money Guide?
You know, I think about things like someone doing a lot of cash transactions when they haven't before, because everybody knows that cash transactions leave no paper trail. Nobody knows what you spent the money for. So if your spouse typically didn't use a lot of cash, always used the credit card or the debit card, and now instead they're going to the ATM, potentially they're going to the ATM multiple times a week, and they can't really account for where that money is going. Or especially if they're withdrawing cash, allegedly spending that, but also still using the credit or debit card at the same level as they used to. Those types of things raise suspicions for me. I look for things like potentially backdated documents or unusual documents that don't seem to make sense in the financial arena, right? One more that comes up is someone who is flaunting their power or control over the financial situation or over you. So in the weeks, months leading up to divorce or in the divorce process, the person who has had control of the finances is telling you, you're going to get nothing, I control it all. That type of behavior and those types of words are concerning to me because they can be a red flag of fraud as well.
I'm reminded, you know, we divorce lawyers frequently like to tell war stories, and it can make a difference, or at least I think provide some concrete examples. But I remember a client that he was, you know, trying to go through his divorce on his own, and he finally came to me And he was just getting buried by the other side. And he told me that his wife made a lot more money than he did. And she was a stay-at-home mom by all accounts. And I said, how does she make her money? She's not employed. And it turned out that she would go to Las Vegas with her parents, and her parents would kind of bankroll her. And then she would pocket the money on her parents' account and come home with just bags of cash. And sure enough, you go through the bank statements and you would see, like clockwork, $9,900, deposited in cash. And when you could put that together, he just lacked the resources and the know-how of really knowing how to present that to the judge. It's a little bit different than what you do, but it's just an example that I think, you can understand of where people, they don't know how to prove that cash or the forensic accounting to really show. And it could come the other way where money could be going out. And there's so many just tricks where business owners or, people, they can skim off the top. And in, the grand scheme of things, it can be a lot of money. It's just a matter of knowing the difference between, I don't trust Melanie Wolf saying, I don't trust Eric because he's having an affair and he's not the person that I thought he was. And now I don't trust anything, versus, well, I'm leaving hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of dollars, off the table because I didn't know that I could put it on the table because I didn't know it was missing in the first place.
Well, to you and I, it seems pretty simple to say, go get your bank statements and look for deposits of $9,900 every month or every week or something like this, right? It seems really simple to tell someone, go look at the bank statements and look for unusual transactions. But what I found is that just saying it like that is super intimidating to many, many people. I'm not going to turn someone into a forensic accountant overnight, but I can walk them through the process very simply of, here's how you get the bank statements. Here's how you organize them. Here's what to look for in them once you have them. And I think that by taking it step by step, instead of just saying, get the statements and look at them, I think it makes it a lot easier for the person getting divorced to actually make some headway on them.
Right. And Tracy, so the Divorce Money Guide, it's an online handbook that it has 10 steps. So tell me and our listeners a little bit more about what they could expect and a cost and just what the process is that you have created.
So the 10 steps start with helping the person understand the financial part of their divorce so that they understand what financial discovery is, what kind of documents they're going to need. They've even got a checklist of all the financial documents that they should put together for the financial discovery part of their divorce. It walks them through the red flags of fraud. There's even a quiz. It's 25 questions about their family's financial situation and interactions between them and their spouse in the financial realm to help assess how likely is it that there has been money that's hidden or spent inappropriately. Really helpful tool for people to take that gut feel that they have about the potential for fraud and sort of have an expert sort of assess it for them, right? And then it walks them through getting their financial documents. So what do you need in terms of bank statements and credit card statements? How do you get them? How do you organize them? And what do you do with them once you have them? So 10 steps, you don't have to do them in order. You don't have to do all of them. If you already have some of your documents, you could skip right to the step that's relevant to looking at them, something like that. And really, it's for the cost of about 1 hour of a divorce attorney's time is what it'll cost you to get the Divorce Money Guide. And so I was looking for that value there and thinking to myself that if the client gathered all of their bank statements and tax returns themselves with the help of the Divorce Money Guide, and their attorney didn't have to do those things, didn't have to organize those documents, didn't have to bill the client for all of that, and they save money, save an hour or two or three of the divorce attorney's time, it's well worth it for them.
I think that something that you mentioned earlier is the cost of the peace of mind, and where people, they can download the handbook and then they know, or at least have a better idea of, is this worth pursuing? I have questions, and it will arm them with tools to better work with someone like me, where, as listeners know, we have a how-to series on the Divorce at Altitude podcast, where we walk people through the process of getting a divorce, parenting, property, and we're working on, you know, support. But, and you have videos in addition to the written materials and the downloading, you know, the online handbook. And so it's really arming people with the tools to better work with us to really deal with the complex issues, because not every person, it's going to be appropriate for them, you know, to use the Divorce Money Guide. They might need your services, but if they don't, they at least have the peace of mind that they looked into it and they examined the bank statements and went through that process.
Yeah, I feel like even if they only do one or two of the steps, they'll still know more than they did before they started. And that's a win to me.
100%. And I think that even being better organized for working with someone like a divorce attorney, where they can upload their documents to Dropbox, which is what we use, or to have them organized, they're just going to understand the financial issues much better, even if they don't determine that, you know, a bunch of red flags exist or there is a necessary forensic accounting that needs to be undertaken.
You're right, 100%. I just think that knowledge is power, and, you know, the opportunity to know more than you did before is really key.
And Tracy, if listeners are interested in finding out more, and first of all, we'll have links in the show notes, but where can people find the Divorce Money Guide? And, you know, you've written some other books and, you know, materials out there. So, and obviously do consulting and expert work. So for listeners that are interested in finding out more, want to find out about Divorce Money Guide or, you know, other materials that you have done, can you tell us a little bit about where they can find that and what all they can find?
Just head to divorcemoneyguide.com. That's where you'll find the product. There's also a little introductory quiz there where you can get some insight into how much you know about your financial situation as you are heading into divorce. Everything you need is there. You can find me on Instagram. I'm also Divorce Money Guide there as well.
And Tracy, if people want to find out more about materials that you've put together, where can they find that and what all is out there?
So my corporate website is sequenceinc.com, sequence like a sequence of numbers, inc.com. What you'll find there is a blog that I've got about fraud issues. You can find my book, Lifestyle Analysis in Divorce, which I wrote for divorce attorneys to help them learn more about the financial issues and the work that a forensic accountant might do.
Well, you know, really appreciate the contributions to the industry and the space and helping out people, Tracy, going through a divorce. I know, you know, it's implicit, but there's not anything out there that exists. And I think it's really helpful for, you know, people like me, a divorce attorney who explains to a client, hey, listen, like you'd have to go through a forensic accounting to really get down to that answer. And I cannot tell you how many times, you know, Melanie Wolf or someone close to her will come and say, I really just don't trust Eric and I want to do a forensic accounting, but then they're deterred because of the cost. I know that's one of the reasons you wrote and produced this product, but, you know, really am appreciative of what you've done here, because I think it's going to help a lot of people.
I think it's going to empower a lot of people. And that's the whole point is, you know, to give them, again, more knowledge than they had before they started and allow them to take some control. You know, even if there aren't suspicions about the money, like let's just say that you're the person who hasn't been in control of the money. You don't suspect your spouse has been doing anything funny with the money, but you still want to be informed about what's been going on. The Divorce Money Guide can help you with that as well. So it's a win no matter whether you think there's fraud or not.
Well, thanks for joining us on Divorce at Altitude. And again, we'll have links to the show notes. But until next time, thanks again for listening to Divorce at Altitude.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, everyone. This is Ryan again. Thank you for joining us on Divorce at Altitude. If you found our tips, insight, or discussion helpful, please tell a friend about this podcast. For show notes, additional resources, or links mentioned on today's episode, visit divorceataltitude.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen in. Many of our episodes are also posted on YouTube. You can also find Amy and me at kalamea.law or 970-315-2365. That's KALAMAYA.law.